Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, we're back here to talk about minute 93 through 94.
Yay.
All right, I got it right. Yeah. I got it right this time. We're picking right back up where we left off. Yesterday with the Baron and Yue talking.
Yep.
And
bargained to the letter.
Yep. I feel like we should just get into it because we got a lot to talk about on this one, man.
So I have a question okay. that I forgot to ask in yesterday's, but it's still relevant to today's episode.
Okay.
It seems that and this is almost certainly true, up until this moment, Vladimir Harkonnen had never met Yue. Like the betrayal was brokered probably by like Piter.
Yeah.
On behalf of.
That's safe to say. Yes. We've talked about it a couple of times where people are very wary to do things, directly because there's always that fear that they're going to be put in front of a truthsayer.
Yeah.
So there's always some degrees of separation between them doing the actual dirty work.
Everyone speaks through Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin Bacon is just a conduit for communications in this world.
How many Kevin Bacons was the Baron away from UA? No, I think that's a fair assumption that this is the first time they're meeting face to face.
Shout out to Tremors, by the way.
Tremors?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie. It's a fun movie. Very clearly a Dune ripoff.
Yeah, that's where I was going. I was waiting for you to put it together in your head.
I've thought about that in the past. I mean, I don't think they even tried to hide that, though.
No.
Okay. So the last line we talked about yesterday was the Baron saying the bargain to the letter.
Yep.
Talking about how Yue had delivered the Duke and his family, lowered the shields. What was the other thing he did?
I jammed their comms,
lowered
their shields. I delivered the Duke and his family.
Right. And then, Yue goes on to explain what he was expecting to receive for doing all these things.
Well, so.
Oh, the Baron asks what?
Yeah. Vladimir asks, and what was I to do for you?
I just needed to scroll up in my notes. I forgot I wrote that down.
Yue's response is deliver my wife from her agony, which is what he wants, but he also wants to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting that he only says deliver my wife from her agony instead of, you know, but I think at this point we kind of talked about it too, how we feel that he knows she's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk a lot more about that in my book section. But yeah, he says, deliver my wife from his agony or for her agony, excuse me.
Yep.
And the Baron just goes, yes.
When we see his suspensor frame begin to activate as we have that camera scene mm-hmm. or the camera position from behind him. And we see like the banquet that's still in front of him. and he just kind of like begins to float and you see his like feet just like kind of drag a little bit. Longest table that has ever existed.
It's the long table of suspense building. I wanted to talk about this shot for a second because it's a really, really cool shot.
Yeah.
The camera moves to be behind Leto. And so Leto's in focus and he's still, you know, knocked out in his chair.
Yeah, you just see this mass.
Yeah, and the Baron, shifting. The Baron's really out of focus. Like, and you see him rise up, and he stays out of focus until the very end when he gets like he comes across the table, and you see his like feet kind of knock against the edge of the table, clearly just limp as hell. He's not used those in decades, probably. And when he doesn't touch the ground, but when he gets down to camera level, that's the moment that he's in focus. And it's just such a cool way of like building suspense and almost like terror from this character.
Yeah.
Cause we've seen him rise up in the past. We saw him when they're in the cone of silence, he uses his, Suspensor Fields
my
to
desert, my Arrakis, my Dune.
Yep, to rise up. Then that's really the only time that we see them functionally in any for any length of time. The hallway scene that we saw last week, notwithstanding, we do see them floating down there. Yeah, I thought it was a really cool way of like building that suspense and that terror of him just like coming over directly in front of Yue.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like he's floating in an imposing way so that he's like taller than Yue and looking down on Yue and shit yeah. too.
Yep. And Yue's trying to look, he's trying to keep his cool.
He's trying, but he knows this isn't going to be.
No, he's.
This isn't a good ending for him.
He's trying to be confident, you know, look not scared and keep his bravado about him. But when the Baron comes over to him, he looks.
I would like to point out too that throughout the entire time that Vladimir Harkonnen is, you know, floating across the long table,
mm-hmm.
and when he's, you know, floating in front of Yue, he's still chewing. And he's like chewing like a fucking cow, where he's just.
Yeah. Ugh. The manners on this man, right? Gosh, come on. As he's floating down, like the camera moves again to where the Baron kind of enters in left of frame.
Yeah.
And we he's
just chewing hardcore still.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is the first time we get like a really, really good shot about how fucking rotund this man is. He's
large.
Yeah, and he's using a suspensor field, and as you said, he purposely makes it to where he's taller than everyone.
Yeah,
as an imposing fact. And at this point, Yue is scared shitless. He's like, not like visibly shaking, but you can tell he's shaken.
Yeah. I think just in general, the whole evening has shooketh him.
Yeah, and that's when he says the line, "I said I'd set her free, and that you could join her."
So join her. And then he just grabs Yue by the hair and like lifts him up.
Well, so, okay, let's talk about this for a second. That's a crazy move.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm assuming, let's just like walk through this. He grabs Yue by the hair, and I'm assuming that he uses his suspensor fields to lift him up.
Yeah. But he still has to have a good amount of fucking grip on his hair.
And have you ever, okay, Yue, I'm making an assumption here. Probably about 150 pounds.
I'd say like 160, 170.
Okay. So somewhere in the.
Between one. He's safely guesstimated between 150, 175.
Yeah. That amount of weight, if you're just like arm straight holding that out, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is still a shit ton of like arm, like shoulder, back strength that it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the suspensor fields automatically pick Yue up too once he is in contact with the Duke. So I think this is the Duke's muscle.
No, he's definitely pulling on him because you see Yue's like reaction to being pulled on like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And, yeah, then we get the "so join her" as he takes out a knife and just cuts his head off.
He doesn't even take out a knife. He carried that knife with him. It was the knife that he was eating with.
Mm.
He just like floated across the table with the knife and shit. And yeah, just in a single clean slash, you just hear the slash and then the thud of the body hit the floor.
Yeah. And we don't see the graphic parts of this because, again, this is a PG-13
movie. But
we hear it all.
Well, but then you also see Yue's decapitated head in
the last second of this minute. We see the Baron like turns around and yeah.
And then the minute ends with the thud of Yue's head on the floor.
Oof.
It's such a good thud too. Like whoever was doing Foley on that one just had like a fucking like stack of leather and a hammer and just went punk.
Yeah. Something I must have been
perfect.
Yeah. So that's where the minute ends, right? With a UA's body or head, I guess, hitting the ground.
Bodies hit the floor.
All right, cool. Want to hear some book stuff?
Yes.
All right. Nice. Okay. So the conversation between the Baron and UA is largely the same as it is in the movie, as it is in the books.
Yep.
But it's been pared down for efficiency's sake in the movie. There's a lot more back and forth.
I thought you were going to say in the book. I was like, holy shit.
No.
they say three words to each other. I did it. Okay. Dead.
The movie pares down the book dialogue a considerable amount.
Yeah.
But again, it follows the same beats. UA wants to get in front of the Baron so that he can just do his you know, like minor truth saying stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, his wife, Juana, was a Bene Gesserit, taught him a little bit of truth saying. And UA's plan was to get in front of the Baron so he could kind of ascertain for certain whether Juana was dead or alive.
Just by looking him in the eye or whatever it was.
Yep. So within the first like second or two of the scene in the book, when they're face to face, he determines, yep, she's dead. There's no, if she was alive, they would still like want to have some kind of hold over him.
Yeah.
The Baron has no need for him anymore.
Yeah. UA serves no purpose. So just take out the trash.
Yep. Exactly. So he does the same dialogue. I said, you know, you could set her free and you could join her. So join her. That pulled straight from the book. Love that.
The way that Stellan Skarsgård delivers it too is just such a fucking good.
And I don't think I said it before, but like he even goes through the trouble of like feigning like contemplation.
Yeah.
Like, I did say that. What are we going to do here? Then he kills him.
Fucking join.
Yeah. Okay. He's cold, man.
I've fucking like juiced up Stellan Skarsgård a lot in this role, but I genuinely can't think of anyone better suited for this role, like any current actor.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we talked about this a while back and I said Mads Mikkelsen would maybe do a good job.
He's too like skinny. I mean, yes, you can fix that, but I don't think so.
At least they both have kind of that threatening aura to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he does is such a good job here.
Sad that we only have him for like one more scene in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we get a lot next movie.
Oh yeah, no, we like we're not done with Vladimir in any sense. But
mm-hmm. So the biggest difference between the book and the movie in this scene is that when it comes time to kill Yue, again, what we talked about at the beginning of this episode is there's always a little bit of distance between the command and the act, right? Yep. So in the book, the Baron waves his hand towards Piter and Piter stabs him in the back. Mm-hmm. And that's when he dies. But not before he gets one more sentence out to the Baron. And the sentence is, and this is, I'm just going to read it word for word. There's a lot of like ellipses in between each word because he's like gasping for breath and he's a dying person at this point.
We get it.
He goes, "You think you defeated me. You think I did not know what I bought for my Juana." And those words like ring in the Baron's head for the next couple of chapters. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Like that really like shocks him to the core. He's like, "Why did he say, you think you defeated me? I don't understand." So yeah, great, great send off for UA, even though he did the Atreides dirty. The good send off for him,
even though he did a slight bit of treason.
Yeah,
just a little treason as a treat.
Yeah, just a little bit. After Yue's body hits the ground in the book, the Baron turns to the his personal guard captain Kudu, who I mentioned yesterday, and says, "I could never trust a traitor, not even a traitor I created." And then, I mean,
to that point, he does.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Once a traitor, always a traitor, right?
Like, yep. And then their attention turns to the Duke.
Yes.
So, again, that is where I'll leave it, because we got a lot to talk about that tomorrow.
We do. And that'll be the end of today's episode. But, as always, you can find us on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are at Dune Minute on Twitter. And you can email duneminute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday episode. Close the week out.
Cool. We'll see you then.